Heading back to school? Head to DSW first and save up to 25% on select styles from big deal brands. Score major savings on must-have shoes and accessories from Nike, Adidas, Crocs, Reebok, Hey Dude, and Under Armour. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. Whether you're prepping for the kids' first day back or just for a busier calendar, get up to 25% off A-plus styles for women, men, and kids at your DSW store or dsw.com for a limited time.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome on in to the WIP Afternoon Show. No Ike, no Spike, no Fritz. It's Broads kicking it with you until 6 o'clock for the next 3 days. I'm back. Back in business. Daughter number two born. Now we got two running around. Should be fun. Should be interesting. We'll factor that into the show for my side topic as we get going. And of course, 215-592-9494 is the phone number to hop on board. We must start with the 76ers, though, because I'm angry. There's no sugarcoating it. I am back to being pissed off when it comes to thinking about my basketball team. Because something is getting criminally overlooked and disregarded. And it's embarrassing that it's getting overlooked and disregarded, but that's what happens when apathy sinks into our bloodstream. And I'm here to say no more apathy when it comes to the Sixers. We must get our basketball team back. Let's take a listen to Shams, who reported this about a day ago on Paul George and his injury.
When exactly did this injury occur, and how will it impact the rest of PG's offseason here?
Malik, I'm told Paul George suffered the injury during an on-court workout last week, and it led to him visiting a doctor on Friday. And the decision was made to undergo arthroscopic surgery because the doctors felt like this would be an injury that would linger for a player that was never healthy all last year. Paul George's season ended rehabbing from injections on groin and knee injuries. He had a finger injury during the season as well. And so now he starts rehab for this knee injury, and he will be reevaluated at the start of this upcoming training camp. But I am told both sides will be cautious with him. They want to see Paul George return to that full form. Paul George, they just have not seen in Philadelphia. So I do expect both sides to be cautious from this injury that Paul George suffered last week.
Okay, so this is essentially so that they can hopefully see that full strength Paul George that we're all waiting for in Philadelphia that never quite came to fruition.
Well, okay, so here we are. Another year of dealing with injuries, and this time we can't even get to damn training camp. Now we're getting hit with a monster Joel Embiid ESPN piece that dropped not too long ago, and we're getting updates on Embiid's current status. And Embiid says himself, we're not going to push anything. For my whole career, I feel we never took that approach. And he was asked if the Sixers support this. And he says, I don't know how they feel. This is a business, though, and it's all about results. So if I come back early enough and I'm still not myself, guess what? We're not winning any games. So he feels a certain type of way. We don't know if the Sixers are even on the same page as Joel. Paul George is a stiff. He can't stay upright. He's focused on his podcast more than he is hoops. And I'm here to say, damn it, I'm starting to get pissed off. And for a while, we all sat here as Sixers fans, and we just pretended nothing mattered. Out of sight, out of mind. They stink. Forget them. We will tune out, and we'll wait for baseball season. We'll wait for the Eagles. Whatever it is, we'll just look right past them. I'm not wasting another basketball season. I need them when it becomes October, when it becomes November, just to sprinkle in nicely throughout the start of our football campaign. And I deserve more than what I'm getting out of this franchise right now. So here's my question to you as we get started. There was once a time where I thought it was okay to say, forget them, don't worry about them, screw them, you're not worth an ounce of my energy. But I actually went backwards in my stages of grief. I'm back to anger. And I want to know, when it comes to the Philadelphia 76ers and the stages of grief, anger, apathy. You could throw depression in there. That's one of them. Sports depression, of course. But anger, apathy. Where do you stand when it comes to this group? Because I want to get back to watching my basketball team have a shot. Now, whether you think they're going to lose in the second round or not, I'm trying to get back into the mentality of enjoying hoops, of thinking they could beat the Boston Celtics, thinking they could beat the Atlanta Hawks, thinking they could beat the Toronto Raptors. Whether they fail or not is not for this exercise. This is more about the belief and hope that they have something that they can get over the hump and do something different and do something special. The hope and belief. Instead, I have to Google who the hell these first five guys who were starting even are. That's what I did last season. I had to Google every single one of them and say, who the hell is he? Where did he play? How many games has he played? I didn't know any of them. We got to get back to a point where we can consume legitimate basketball on a day-to-day basis. And it's a very tricky spot right now because you almost have two blueprints. You got the young guns in Maxey and McCain and VJ Edgecombe, and then you got the old guys who cannot stay healthy. And they are tying up a lot of your cap space in a league where you're seeing youth go, where you're watching the Pacers and the Thunder. You're watching athletic players, deep teams, where they can roll X amount of players and they can all score double-digit figures. And you can rely on many of them to play on both sides of the floor. And it's changed from where we once were, where we wanted to get a three-headed monster and PJ Tucker and Eric Gordon and some savvy vets. Long gone. So what do we do here? I don't know. I don't know the answer. We're going to have to talk this through together at 215-592-9494. But I'm here to say there's no more just slithering through and maneuvering through if you're the Sixers and you don't get any repercussions for the disaster that you are. It's time for us as a city to put our foot on the gas, put our Timberland steel toe boots on their neck, and essentially threaten them.
Butters.
We got to. We must. Because I'm not going to waste another basketball season where it's just ho-hum and we are 1 foot in, 1 foot out. Enough is enough. I need urgency. I need realness. I need a team that I can get behind that is competent. We have incompetent right now. And I know it's a low bar, and it's not where we truly want to be, but I just can't sit and get stuck. That's problematic. It's a disgrace, quite frankly. We can't just sit here and have our feet stuck in quicksand, and we just stay. And we accept it. I'm not accepting it. I need to get to the point where I get to watch Joel Embiid operate from the nail. I got to get to a point where I'm watching Tyrese Maxey run around the court at 1,000% and nobody can keep up with his speed. I need to watch Jared McCain just kick things right into gear where he was once he got injured and we were all crushed at that time. I need him to step up and play the way he was performing right then and there and not skip a beat. I need to see VJ Edgecombe play downhill. That mid-range jumper in his first NBA Summer League game before the whole thumb nonsense? He was cooking. He was eating. He was making some nice jimmies. I need to see that on a Monday night, a Wednesday night, a Friday night, every other night throughout this wintertime. When it comes to the stages of grief, I am back to anger. I took 7 steps backwards. It's no longer, what are you going to do? Another injury to a big-time player. What are you going to do? Another huge acquisition that is basically a nobody at this point in Paul George. Typical Sixers. I'm not accepting typical Sixers anymore. That's over with. There needs to be more pressure. There needs to be more intensity thrown in the direction of Daryl Morey and Joshua Harris and everybody that is in the front office and in the ownership group of the Philadelphia 76ers. Now let's listen here to Tim McMahon of ESPN, who talked about the way that this team is currently structured with the two top premier pieces on the roster.
Philadelphia 76ers are built on a flimsy foundation. They are built on a foundation of two max players who might be the two worst value contracts in the NBA. And it is not about talent. Joel Embiid and Paul George are incredibly talented players. It doesn't matter if you're doing that sitting on the bench in street clothes.
So you look at the way this thing is all structured, and I know it's nobody's surprise that we are here with Daryl Morey, with Paul George being this old, getting paid this much money, and we probably could have seen the writing on the wall, but they backed themselves into such a corner over all the decisions that were made through the Ben Simmons, the James Harden, the now Paul George experience, and I get it, right? They had to take a couple of swings at it with Joel Embiid playing at the highest that he was playing prior to the most recent injuries. But seriously, I mean, we are at a point now with this team that the last thing we can do as a fan base is just put both of our hands up and shrug. I can't do that. I can't do it. 215-592-9494. As we get to the phones, I want you to think about this. Do the Sixers even deserve this type of energy that I'm giving? Am I wrong to care this much? Is it warranted to pretend they don't exist? Is that what we should do? And then once we maybe hit their pocketbooks, maybe that's what moves the needle for them? I don't know. People like that approach, but it makes me very uncomfortable because when I get angry in my stages of grief, I can't accept. I like to apply pressure and get loud. You think I'm loud now? This is when things really get intact. This is where we really kick things into gear. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Sean in Lansdale to kick things off. What's happening, Sean?
What's up, bro?
What's going
on?
Good
to hear you, man. Yo, congrats, dude, on the baby.
Thank you so much, man. Thank you so much. It's been a crazy week, and now we start the journey of two daughters. It's going to be chaotic and fun as hell.
Girl dad, gotta love it, dude.
Yeah,
I'm with you on that.
It's the best.
Listen,
it really is.
You are speaking for me right now. I am angry. I don't even pay attention to Sixers. They are irrelevant. I called you a couple of weeks ago. I was more jazzed up for the NHL draft than I was for the NBA draft, right? Which normally it's flipped the other way around, to be honest with you, brother. But I was so geeked up for this Flyers. I thought they hit a home run, in my opinion.
The Flyers, you're saying?
Yeah, the Flyers. I thought they did really well with their draft. I mean, we don't know what the future is going to hold, but I like what they were what they're trying to build.
Yeah, listen, I have some questions on their second first-round pick that they made, but I think they're definitely trending in the right direction, whereas with the Sixers draft, it's interesting. You have the third overall pick. You get a pretty enticing player in VJ Edgecombe, whose background and his story is so interesting to buy into, and emotionally you can connect with just the way that he has his work ethic and his mindset seems to be in place. So all that is there, yet you're looking at this Sixers team and you go, yeah, third overall pick's cute.
When things really get intact,
it's crazy.
Yeah. I agree with you. And to be honest, like hearing all the ESPN pundits, which I hate listening to ESPN, but they're talking about the Milwaukee Bucks keeping Giannis because the East is weak. But nobody's even bringing up the Sixers because we're irrelevant with Jason Tatum's injury. Like this could be a year that if we were healthy, ready to go, maybe getting balanced after the second round last year, if we made the playoffs or anything, like we'd have some positive feelings and vibes, but I just don't see it, man.
No, and listen, Sean, that's an excellent point, and thank you so much for the kind words. I greatly appreciate it. With where the current status of the Eastern Conference is, Jason Tatum has an Achilles injury. Going to take him a while to get back. And the Celtics, with their new ownership, they're trading Kristaps. They're moving off of Drew Holiday. They're bouncing pieces all around to figure out some of the cap and the money. And okay, so it seems as if they will take a hit and not be the same group.
What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today.
The Indiana Pacers with Tyrese Halliburton is dealing with something that is pretty serious, and that's now going to open the door for the Sixers to do something. Yet nobody and their mother really feels there is a golden opportunity for them to be a spectacular player this year. And that's a smack in the face. That is a dose of reality if you are in that locker room and you hear what others are saying and they don't even put you into the mix. They don't even put you into the conversation. If you don't utilize that, bottle it up and make that something you can grab into or bite into, excuse me, and grab it and use it as momentum, then what are you doing? Right? That's why when we look at the Eagles and Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts, they take up all the noise and they embrace it and they let it motivate them to push them to new levels. Is that what this Sixers group is going to do? I highly doubt it. But something needs to be done. I don't know what the answer is. Like, I'm a Joel Embiid guy. I'm a big fan of his skill set. But the truth is, this hasn't worked. And one thing I would like to do to try and get a new face in here, a new facelift, is to move on from him and Paul George, which I know isn't just going to happen when you snap your fingers. But that's what I think needs to occur for this organization to get life again. And that's not going to happen. So what do we do? Do we have to sit back and expect Maxey McCain and VJ Edgecombe to carry the workload until Paul George and Joel Embiid get right? And then hope and pray that whenever they do get right, they can blossom as one with cohesion and continuity and with knowledge of playing with one another on the floor and grabbing that so quickly that they can go on a postseason run? Is that what we really need to hold our hat on as that's the blueprint? Because that's a scary-ass blueprint. Let's go to Taylor in Kennett Square. You're on WIP. What's up, Taylor?
How's it going?
What's happening?
Look, I love this team, and I really want to love this team, but I think our biggest problems come from the front office first and foremost. All right, Joel Embiid, talented player, right out the wazoo, but he can't stay healthy. Right, Paul George, old as can be, but first and foremost, they got to get rid of Daryl Morey. They got to get rid of him. He is wasting our time. And then Josh Harris himself, what is he doing? He cares so much more about the Commanders and their success out in D.C. than he does about the Sixers. If we want to win, we got to make some big changes front office first and foremost. That's my main point here.
Yeah, listen, I can't disagree with you on the Daryl Morey front. The only disappointing thing, I guess I'd say, about with the Joshua Harris experience is there's nothing we can do about that, right? Like, we can scream that a GM needs to go, a president needs to go, and eventually when the noise is so loud, I think the owners cave, but there's no way we have Joshua Harris just say, all right, you know what, WIP doesn't like me, I'm just going to sell, unfortunately.
This is true. And, you know, we can raise our voices as much as we want, but it really only takes, you know, the big money to say what they want. As for Daryl Morey, though, I mean, he's been with us for how long now? And yet he's so obsessed with getting these old guys and being like, yeah, this is our star. This is our star. And I'm like, no, like if this were 5 years earlier, like, yeah, sure. But we need to focus on like this middle group, right? The Giannises of the group, the guys who aren't new, but not old either. You know, they got some seasoning in them. They got some experience. Right, and the guys who aren't going to break their ankles every time they touch the court.
Yeah, I agree, Taylor. Now, before I let you go, when it comes to the stages of grief, would you say you're closer to the anger, depression side or more of the acceptance of this is who they are and I'm sorry, I can't get angry when I know that they are a disappointment and that's just what it is?
I stuck with them for so long. I was like, I'm still going to ride through it all, and I still will. But I'm getting really angry at this point.
Okay.
It's kind of unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. Taylor, it really is. Like, I want everybody to put this in perspective. In 215-592-9494, the Sixers' frustration is hot and heavy in the streets right now due to the fact that there's more drama, Joel Embiid not participating in basketball activity yet, Paul George now needs surgery and got the surgery, but I want you to let that sink in. Is Paul George just had surgery? Paul George just had surgery. That should be the biggest story in this city by a large margin for a week. There's nothing else going on. I mean, there's a home run derby. There's a batting off, home run off, Kyle Schwarber off, whatever the hell it's called, off. Other than that, there's nothing. And your biggest acquisition to help put the Sixers over the top just needed surgery after a year that was extremely disappointing on the health side of things happened. And, typical Sixers. That's where we're at. Typical Sixers? This can't be typical Sixers. See, to me, I think we're going way too far in the extreme of who cares. I care. I'm getting robbed of basketball. And as a hockey guy, I'll put my hand up. I love my hoops. I need my hoops. In the winter, I love the double dip, 7 o'clock Sixers, 10 o'clock Flyers. And I love the Monday night Flyers, Tuesday night Sixers, Wednesday night Flyers, Thursday night Sixers. And you give me a flip-flop every day until we get to Sunday when Jalen Hurts goes out there and puts up 40. And then we win and now we're 7-1. It's the best time of the year. But you strip away my ability to kick back and watch a team compete. I'm angry. And I think what was just mentioned by Taylor is very interesting about the Daryl Morey experience. Because he is a guy that structured the league one way, and then everybody sort of followed. He was very analytically driven. He built something in Houston, and that changed the trajectory of the league. And I have to wonder if he has the ability to zig another way again now that the league has transformed out of the Daryl Morey way. The Thunder. Look at how the Thunder were built. That is not even close to going out and getting Eric Gordon and PJ Tuckers and all these veteran, experienced, 33-year-old, old, small forward, power forward type. It's just, it's unacceptable.
Hey, they hustle. They hustle.
No. You know, shove the hustle right up the keister.
You might dive on the floor for a loose ball.
Please.
Give him a few million.
And then what? And then what? Be out for 2 weeks because he's 39?
Dude, he's first to stand up on the bench with a few claps.
No, please.
So let's give him the whole bank.
Yeah, hey, he's willing to get into Joel Embiid's face at the free throw line. Whoop-dee-doo. How about we win a playoff game? How about we win a playoff series? How about we make the playoffs? Here's an idea. It really hit me, though. When all this was breaking about the Sixers and about Paul George, there was anger, for sure, like myself, but it wasn't as loud as it needed to be. It needs to be more focused in on what's transpiring there. And the more we let it go, I'm afraid the more power the Sixers have to do whatever they want to do. And the more power that they have to do whatever they want to do, the uglier it's going to get. And that's how I feel. Let's go to Archie in Ocean City. What's going on, Archie?
I'm mad as hell. Also, I can't believe these guys, the mismanagement. It goes on and on and on and on and on.
Never ends. It never ends.
So I got a question, and I've been watching the Sixers since Wilt. So I've been watching a long time, and I'm fairly good with the new draft pick. Is he a little undersized also?
Well, he's a guard. I don't think he's too undersized.
I mean, is he like 6'2 or is he like 6'5? I mean,
he's bigger than Jared McCain. Much bigger.
He is 6'5.
Yeah. Okay, and he's pretty much a studly dude. He looks pretty strong.
Yeah, no, listen, he's athletic. He can definitely attack the rim. He's a dog on the defensive side. He's got to work on his offensive game a little bit. But I'll tell you what, I was impressed by that mid-range jumper in his first NBA Summer League game.
So do you think either McCain or Maxey is on the block?
No, I think they just have three good guards.
Do you think they'll play three guards?
Well, I don't know if they'll play three guards, but I think that they need – look, the way this league is nowadays, I just watched the Pacers and Thunder go back and forth in the NBA Finals. You need depth. You need a lot of guys. You need to be able to roll 8, 9 guys deep and all of them be able to be efficient. So if we have three guards, you find a way to make three. If you need 9 guys total, 8 guys to compete in the NBA playoffs, and you got three guards, you find a way to make the talent work. That's your gig if you're Nick Nurse.
That's a great point because it's much less structured than when I was a kid. When you had a center and you had...
Yeah, it's positionless now, for sure. Yeah.
As much as I love the 83 Sixers.
Now, when it comes to Archie, your stages of grief, would you say you're in the anger department or more in the acceptance and apathy that this is who the Sixers are?
I've been mad since they traded the kid from Villanova on draft day.
Okay, Mikal Bridges.
And now it's ramped up again, almost to that level.
Okay, but that's what I want, Archie. That's what I'm looking for. And thank you for the phone call. That's what I'm looking for. I agree. I went to acceptance. I was angry, Ben Simmons, the whole thing. I was so pissed off. I was so upset. I was so disappointed. And then eventually it just settled in that I'm wasting my breath. I'm wasting my energy. I am accepting that this is who they are.
Dude, it's kind of like a breakup. Like you kind of worry about it for a lot of months, you know, afterwards until you kind of just don't feel it anymore. And I feel like that's the Sixers did that to us.
Of
they
course.
Broke up with us.
But
and
then
now they got to win us back.
Yeah, but
I'm looking fun.
I went back though. Is where I went to the apathy stage where I was like, okay, I don't care about you anymore. But I went back. This Paul George thing pushed me backwards, back to anger, and it really is selfishly because I want to enjoy my team. I don't like this. I really don't. This isn't fun. That we have a team that has Joel Embiid, not ready for basketball participation again. The Olympic stuff and the whole thing. I'm not even blaming Embiid for some of it. He's a big dude running a lot. Running and jumping up and down on a 7'2" frame. And some of it is just the nature of the beast. I can run through lists of big men that don't reach their potential because their feet don't work. Because their knees don't work. Because their back doesn't work.
And then you get guys like Tim Duncan, who towards the end of his career, he takes that step to now start taking care of his body 10 times more so that he can last longer. Guys like Tom Brady, who go on his TB12 method. But seriously, he played an extra 5-something years because he took care of his body. That's what has to happen here.
Well, I don't know if it's possible. Some guys, I don't think, have the ability just because the body is the body. And some guys can because their body doesn't break as easily as others. I mean, we're dealing with it to a degree with the trade deadline in baseball with Buxton. I don't think there's anything wrong. It's just some guys have it and some guys don't have it. Buxton can't stay healthy. Other guys can. And with Embiid, I think that's a part of it. But the truth is, I am getting to the point now where I'm losing my patience. I'm breaking. I'm in anger mode. I'm in sports depression mode when it comes to this team. And I just can't let that go. Something hit me. It hit a nerve when I saw the Paul George news and the lack of care from majority of what feels like Sixers fans in this city, because it's a big deal and it's a big loss to head into a year without Paul George, knowing what last year was, how important it was to have a good start when the fall comes around. You needed to just put your best foot forward and see if they could have rhythm and momentum. And now it is kind of blah. And we must force the Sixers' hand, essentially, as a city. We have to. We can't sit on our hands. We must push as one. 215-592-9494. Do the Sixers even deserve the energy that I'm giving? Am I wrong to care this much? Where are you with the stages of grief? Are you in acceptance, apathy, or are you like me, which is anger? 215-592-9494. Coming up next, we will get into my side question of the show. Now that I am a parent of two, I need your advice. I'm going to need help. It's Broads in for the afternoon show on 94 WIP.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The wait is finally over. Ready or Not is available now on consoles. Become an elite SWAT commander and feel the weight of the badge. The immersive cult classic is now on its way to more players than ever before. Coming this summer for PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series XS. Get ready for 18 high-stakes missions, solo or with up to 5 players in co-op. Clear rooms, protect civilians, make split-second calls, and join the tactical shooter community. With countless ways to set up your loadouts and gear, no mission is the same. And with full crossplay, your team can suit up no matter what system they're on. So, if you're into tactical gameplay and intense high-stakes action, Ready or Not is the must-play tax shooter this summer. Available now on PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.